Now, a lot of people get confused because they don't make the distinction between these two events. You know, again, you go back to amillennial, postmillennial, you know, they see the second coming of Christ, but they miss the rapture. And then some people put the rapture and the second coming together, and that gets confused. So as far as the second coming is concerned, the first coming is when Jesus came as a babe in the manger. He came to earth. That's the first coming of Christ. All right, so we want to keep that in mind. That's the first coming of Christ, when he was born in Bethlehem, Mary's baby boy. That's the first coming.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of the Rapture 2. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of the Rapture Part 2.
You receive the notes today. You can see that we are getting pretty in depth as far as the rapture is concerned. So just like I did this this booklet, I don't know if you guys remember, I did this booklet on the Antichrist, and we gave you a full exposition from the Bible of the Antichrist. So I'm probably gonna put out another little booklet on the rapture. So when we get done, there'll be a booklet on it, but you guys will have most of the notes. There may be some update in the booklet, but you know, the Lord is just speaking to my heart about, you know, putting things that we do, or that I do, in a format where people can pick it up and read it and understand it, and even if they have to, teach it. So, you know, that's the things that I'm doing. Especially now, you know, I think after this this series here on the rapture, I'd like to go to either the Believer's Rewards or Armageddon. A lot of people have questions about Armageddon and you know what that is. So hopefully, you know, when we finish up, and I think that we'll be at least one more week dealing with the rapture. So again, you know, you're getting in-depth teaching on the rapture, even in your notes today that you would have received, a lot of work I put into the history of the rapture. And I'm hoping that we'll get to that today, but I don't think we're gonna get to it. So we may have to get to it next week because a lot of people say there's not gonna be a rapture. And a lot of people say that the Bible doesn't teach a rapture and you don't hear anything about the rapture until recently. So, you know, I did a history on the rapture to kind of dispel the fact that the rapture is not a Johnny come lately topic, but it's something that has been around since the early church. So we're going to get into another dimension of the rapture. All right. So we're looking at the rapture. And as always, I always like to do a review. So we're going to do a quick review of last week. You know, we said that the rapture is when Jesus will come back and take his bride, the church, to his father's house. And then that will be followed by a 7-year period known as the tribulation. The word rapture is not found in the Bible. The word actually comes from the Latin word raptio, which means to be caught up or snatched away. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, we see a concept of the rapture there. And the word that's used in verse 17, caught up, is the Greek word harpazo, which means to seize, to catch up, or to pluck away by force. So I keep emphasizing, like the word Trinity is not found in the Bible, the word rapture is not found in the Bible, but the concept of the rapture is found in the Bible. We said there's a fourfold aspect of the rapture: coming back, that's when Christ comes back; coming out, the dead will come out of the graves. Coming up, the saints who are alive will meet Jesus in the air, and the coming together. The saints, Christ, the body of Christ, will be gathered together in glory. We said that there were two views concerning the rapture. The premillennial view, which says Christ will come back unexpectedly and take the church off the earth, back to heaven with him. And then there's the amillennial and postmillennial view, which basically says that there's not going to be a rapture. Amillennialists, they say that we're already in the millennium right now. Postmillennials believe that Christ will come back after the millennium. So neither one of these groups believe that there will be a rapture. Key passages, we looked at these last week. John 14, 1 through 3. 1 Corinthians 15, 54, 51 through 54. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. These are three key passages in the New Testament concerning the rapture. And then we said that there are Old Testament types of the rapture. And in order for something to be a type, it has to be explained in the New Testament. And so we said that there are two types of the Old Testament as far as the rapture is concerned. Noah, when his family was taken out of they were put in the ark, and they were taken out of the flood, out of the judgment. And so the rapture is the same. God will take his righteous people out of the judgment before the 7-year tribulation that appears on this earth. So Noah was taken out of judgment. And so he is a type of the rapture. And also Lot is a type of the rapture. Lot was taken out of Sodom and Gomorrah before God sent his wrath upon that city. So those are two Old Testament types. And the thing that makes it a type is that Jesus said that his coming would be like it was in the days of Noah and the days of Lot. So that when Jesus said that, then that made it a type. If Jesus didn't say that, then it wouldn't have been a type. Because that way, I mean, you can make all kinds of stuff in the Old Testament a type, right? So it has to be said in the New Testament that it was a type. And so Jesus said that Noah was a type and that Lot was a type. All right. So let's look at the differences between the rapture and the second coming. Between the rapture and the second coming. Now, a lot of people get confused because they don't make the distinction between these two events. You know, again, you go back to amillennial, postmillennial, you know, they see the second coming of Christ, but they miss the rapture. And then some people put the rapture and the second coming together, and that gets confused. So as far as the second coming is concerned, the first coming is when Jesus came as a babe in the manger. He came to earth. That's the first coming of Christ. All right, so we want to keep that in mind. That's the first coming of Christ, when he was born in Bethlehem, Mary's baby boy. That's the first coming. The second coming is when he comes back to earth to establish his kingdom. That's the second coming. Now, in between the first coming and the second coming is the rapture. Now, you remember what we said last week? Paul said the rapture was what? He said it was a mystery. The rapture is a mystery, which means that the saints in the Old Testament might have alluded to it. And we even see in the types of Lot and Noah that it was talked about. But it was a mystery. And Paul said that he unveiled the mystery. And you may have seen, I wish I had diagrammed this, but you may have seen the illustration that said in the Old Testament, when the prophets looked ahead, they saw two mountain peaks, right? And what's in the middle of a mountain peak is a valley, right? So the first peak they saw was what? When Christ came as a babe. The second peak they saw when he comes back again. But in the valley was what? The rapture. And they didn't see that. because Paul said the rapture was a mystery. All right. So people confuse the two events, and we don't want to confuse the two. We want to know that there's two separate events. You know, the first time that Christ, at the rapture, when Christ comes, he comes in the air. All right. The second coming, according to Zechariah, he's coming back to earth. Okay. So you see, there's a distinction there. In the rapture, the saints go up to heaven. In the second coming, we read that the saints come with Christ and they come down from heaven. So you see, again, you know, these are two separate events. And people will argue the fact that there's no rapture. All right. And then, you know, even talking about, you know, the Bible does not even speak of a rapture. We don't hear anything about a rapture until, you know, the 19th century. You know, other than that, you know, the church was silent as far as there being a rapture. But again, that's wrong. That's a wrong doctrine. All right. Because we see that there are two events that we need to distinguish in the coming of Christ, the rapture and the second coming. In the rapture, Christ comes down with grace, right? He comes with grace to take his church out of the wrath to come. The second coming, he comes in judgment. You know, it talks about the fact that a sword goes out of his mouth and he destroys the armies of the Antichrist here on this earth. So at the second coming, he's coming in judgment. The rapture, he's coming with grace. I like this one right here. At the rapture, we read that the dead come alive. Remember, it says that those in the graves will be raised, the dead will come alive. And then at the second coming, when Christ brings his judgment, the alive will be slain. You know, remember the valley of Megiddo, the battle of Armageddon. It says that the blood will flow up to the horse's bridle, right? So there's going to be a lot of bloodshed when Christ comes back at his second coming. But at the rapture, when he comes back, the dead come alive. And then at the second coming, the alive become dead. At the rapture, unbelievers will be left. Okay, so believers will be taken out. And the unbelievers will be left here on this earth. At the second coming, unbelievers will be taken out, and believers will continue here on this earth. All right, the people who get saved during the tribulation. In the rapture, we see that the saints will be taken before the tribulation, and then we see the saints in the second coming, they come after the tribulation. So in the rapture, they are taken up before the tribulation starts, and in the second coming, they come when the tribulation is over. All right. In the rapture, Christ comes for the saints, right? He comes to take out his church, his bride, the church. In the second coming, Christ comes with the saints. Revelation 19, verse 14, that he comes back with the saints. The army, it says that they will be dressed in white robes, that when we come back, so you know what that means. We're not gonna have on camo, right? We're not gonna have on a camo gear. Like, we don't need to be camouflaged. We're not gonna get dirty. You know, we're coming back with white robes, which means that we're gonna be clean, we're gonna stay clean, right? But because Christ is going to do all the fighting. And again, in Revelation, it says that a sharp sword comes out of his mouth and he destroys the armies of the Antichrist, the armies of this world. We see in the rapture, believers will see him, that only believers will see him in the rapture. When he comes back at the second coming, it says that every eye will see him. And there was one that I added in your notes, and at the rapture, his feet stay in the air, right? 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17. His feet will stay in the air. At the second coming, his feet will touch the earth. Zechariah 14, verse 3 or 4, in there. You should have that in your notes. Zechariah 14 and verse 4. All right. So, saints, this is very important that you understand that there is a difference between the rapture and the second coming of Christ. And you can't confuse the two events. All right. So if you have any questions about this, you know, when we open it up for Q&A at the end of the teaching, you know, you can have the opportunity to ask those questions. All right. Let's move on. Okay, I told you I was going to give you a play-by-play blow of the rapture according to the scripture. All right, when you look at the scripture, we talked about three main passages, John 14, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians 4, are the three main passages in the New Testament on the rapture. So what I did, I put 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4 side by side, so it can give us understanding of the events, the order of the rapture. Okay, in 1 Corinthians 15, the rapture will take place so quickly that people who are left behind probably will not realize what happened. In verse 52, it says that it will happen in the twinkling of an eye. Okay, that the rapture will take place in the twinkling of an eye. This is an expression that's beyond our comprehension, the twinkling of an eye. In less than 1 second, all of the events below will transpire. So the twinkling of an eye, it will happen all, you know, I mean, it comes in an order, but it's so fast that you can't distinguish what's happening. You know, somebody said that the twinkling of an eye is, one 30th of a second or something like that. We've all seen the twinkle in an eye. You know, sometimes you'll see on TV or somewhere where like a star will show up in somebody's eye just real quick. The twinkling of an eye happens so fast. So again, that's why going back here, where it says at the bottom, I went back a slide, only believers will see, right? It's gonna happen so fast that the world is not gonna know what happened, right? That the rapture will take place so quickly that the world will not know what's gonna happen. But at the second coming, it says that every eye will see him, all right? So again, that's that whole idea of the twinkling of an eye. The next thing we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and it says, the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. Okay, so again, all this happens in the twinkling of an eye, right? A shout and the voice of the archangel. And, you know, some people say that the shout and the voice of the archangel is the same thing. So I'm not sure, you know, what that is. Remember when Lazarus was dead and Jesus went to the grave of Lazarus, and what did he say? He said, Lazarus, come forth. And the old black preacher, you know, he said that the reason that Jesus said Lazarus, because if he didn't say Lazarus, every grave would have opened and everybody would have came out. Right. So he said Lazarus. So this shout, you know, again, this is my sanctified imagination. Right. But maybe the shout is believers come forth. Right. Just like he said, Lazarus come forth. And Lazarus came out of the grave. Maybe and again, I wouldn't take what I said there to the bank. Right. But maybe believers come forth and, you know, all believers will come forth. And then it says that it says that the trump the last trump will sound, and in that's in 1 Corinthians 15. And then in 1 Thessalonians 4 it says the trumpet of God will sound. So there's that trumpet blast, okay? The shout from heaven, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet sounds, you know, in the twinkling of an eye. Wow, that's the rapture is going to be a powerful event. And then notice again, he says what? The last trump, the trumpet of God, the last trump. Now, this is an interesting concept, all right? Back some years ago, I did a teaching on the Feast of Trumpets. And this was one of the feasts of Israel. And this feast would begin with the new moon, right? And so no one knew exactly. I mean, they knew that around the time that the new moon would come into play, but they didn't know exactly when the new moon would come, all right? So whenever the priests, what they would do is they would watch for the new moon. And whenever the new moon came, you know, again, they didn't know exactly when it was gonna come, but they were looking for it. Oh, somebody pray with me, because I'm getting ready to teach on this rapture now. I'm getting ready to teach on this rapture, right? They didn't know when the new moon would come, but they were looking for it. Whoa, what does that sound like? My. They didn't know when the new moon would come, but they were looking for it. Saints, we don't know when the rapture is going to come, but we need to be looking for it. Whenever the new moon came, they would blow the shofar 100 times to let the people know that it was a new moon and that the Feast of Trumpets was to begin. They would blow it 100 times. And the last one, the 100th time, they would blow a loud blast. And, you know, it would be for a prolonged period of time. And that's what was known. Oh, somebody pray with me today. Somebody pray with me today. That's what was known as the last trump, right? That's where the concept of the last trump comes from. Again, whenever that new moon would come, the priests would be looking for it. And when it came, they would blow the shofar 100 times. And the 100th time, they would give a prolonged blow on the shofar, and that was the last trump. And that after that last trump, that's when the Feast of Trumpets began. And they had something called the Days of Awe. If you want, man, you know, I have a booklet on the Feast of Israel. Powerful teaching on the Feast of Israel. If you want that booklet, let me know, or let Naomi know, and I will get it to her, and she can send it to you electronically. The Feast of Israel. And we talk about all the feasts, the 7 feasts of Israel, which the Feast of the Trumpet is one. So like the beginning of the Feast of Trumpets was hidden, right? No one knew the day or hour, so is the coming of Christ. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The Feast of Trumpets. Go back. Let me go back. Y'all know I like going back, right? The last trump will sound in 1 Corinthians 15. The trumpet of God shall sound. You know, Paul says in...
Thank you for joining today on And Kurt and Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Rapture, Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Rapture 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Rapture, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and review from our Bible prophecy series. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Bible prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, come from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.